Genesis chapter 2. I want to read from verse 18 down to the end of the chapter this morning. What I'm going to say to you this morning is not new. But I do believe that we need review. I believe we need reminded. And we need God to show us over and over some of the things that are needed in our lives. Verse number 18. It says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof." By the way, that was not an easy job. Think about it. There's some 30,000 different species of animals. And you say, well, he just came out of the caves and he grunted all these things. First of all, he didn't come out of the caves. He came out of the ground God made him from. And it's not easy thinking up new names. Remember when you had your children? It didn't just appear out of nowhere, did it? It took a while. So consider that. Verse 20, "And Adam gave names to all cattle, to the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. He slept, and he took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Let's pray again. Father, thank you. We have this blessed opportunity and privilege to open the Word of God. We pray you might speak to our hearts this morning. Bless in each of our homes. God, I pray that you would reveal to us once again those things that are so desperately needed in our lives. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. Many years ago, my nephew was married. And as I went to the wedding, it was one of the first functions I was actually able to go to after we'd moved back to the area. And it was in a Catholic church, and I remember the priest got up, and I was really quite enthralled with what he had to say, because I thought, how's this man know so much about marriage he's never been? You know, perhaps somebody wrote it and he was reading it all, but I was very much enthralled with the service that he had. I wish I could remember all of it. I remember he divided into three segments, and as I sat through that wedding, I remembered once again the vows that I had taken. I remembered once again the reason of marriage, and it just brought me nearer in my thoughts to my wife. Every time that I have a wedding, of course last night or yesterday afternoon, once again, those thoughts go through my mind as I'm going through a service, and it just makes it real again to me. Once I just appreciate that. And it's a help to me. And so we go to the Word of God often. We go to some places many times, and it's overs again, but we need reminded. Isn't that true? So let's look here once again. We notice that as we study the book of Genesis, there's really more than one account of creation. In the first two chapters, there's really two different accounts. In chapter 1 through about verse 4 of chapter 2, we find that God is giving us each day and telling us what took place on each day. From about verse 5 of this chapter on to the end of the chapter, we will find that He has a detailed creation of man and woman. And in this account, we learn that man and woman were created on, of course, in day 6, and that it was considered very good. Okay, we find that back in chapter 1. In the second account, we learn the reason that God created a woman. Okay, we learn that from this account. She was made to be a helpmeet. Those are words that means help fit, help suited for him. And she was this which was designed by God to complement the man and to help him in all what he was doing. It was like a giant picture puzzle that had this piece that was missing. Matter of fact, it was a giant piece. And as that piece was put into the puzzle, now man was complete. And so a wife is brought about to seek to be that helpmeet, not a help hinderer. And that sometimes happens. How can she do that? That's my question today. How can a woman be that helpmeet for her man? And on this day that's a Mother's Day and a day that we have an honor to them, we just want to review some things and think about them, because as you have mothered, as you have been that wife, we trust that these things have been true in your life. But it's also a checklist for us. It's also a time to stop and think about, are there some areas in my life that I could shore up? And also, I believe this. I believe it's also helpful, especially for our older ladies, that you might be able to take some of these things to help the younger ladies with. Okay? We find the Word of God that you have a tremendous, elevated position in helping them to learn, basically, how to love their husband, because they can be cantankerous. How to love their children, because sometimes you want to pull out your hair and run away. And so there are some things there that God has given, especially to older ladies, for that particular thing. So these are things that can be of help, I trust, to each one. First of all, as we think about this, how can they be a better helpmeet? By the way, this is not going to fall on deaf ears to our husbands, I hope, because we have a few things here for you guys too. But first of all, be willing to follow. First of all, be willing to follow. This attitude will never be stronger than when you allow the Holy Spirit of God to fill you. Take your Bible, turn to Ephesians. Please look at Ephesians. And we'll go to chapter 5. Just a familiar portion. Matter of fact, in this chapter we find some tremendous things said about the husband and the wife, especially. But if you go down with me to verse number 18, notice what it says. In verse 18, be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. Now, I believe the next few verses, they're not a new sentence. They're continuing the thought. I believe it gives to us the results of this filling of the Spirit of God. It says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Have you not found, not just ladies, but gentlemen, have you not found when the Spirit of God is in His fullness in your life, there's a song in your heart. You can't help it. It just wells up. It's there. Okay? And sometimes it comes out on your lips. It might not be pretty to those who are listening, but it's pretty to the Lord. Isn't that true? And once in a while, have you ever heard a little child making up a song? Once in a while, I hear my grandchildren, they'll be walking around just singing, making up a song, you know. And, boy, I tell you, the notes, they don't come sometimes the way they ought to, and the words seem kind of be out of place. But, you know, I believe God's well pleased with that. Amen. So we have a song. Notice, secondly, he says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I notice when people are filled with the Spirit of God, they are so thankful. This morning, as we gathered for prayer about 9:30 upstairs, and some prayed, the first couple that prayed, I was just kind of overtaken with this thought, because there was this realization of God in their lives, and all they could say was, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. Giving thanks for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice verse number 21. The sentence has not ended. He says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And so I believe the filling of the Spirit of God brings about these three things. And the last one being submission. And what's interesting is God, in the next several verses, going right on down into chapter number 6, is showing us the areas of submission. And the first one is wives to their husbands. So I look at it, and the filling of the Spirit of God is going to bring that submissive attitude, by the way, to husband and wife. But that wife is going to have that desire to submit herself to her husband's. Notice how, as unto the Lord. Okay? So this attitude, I believe, will never be stronger than when we are willing to allow the Spirit of God to fill us. Now let's go back to Genesis and consider in chapter number 3. We're not going to read it. But Adam and Eve, they were created perfect. They were perfect individuals. They had perfect bodies. They had perfect minds. They were in a perfect environment. They had perfect fellowship with God. And so here we are in this perfection, in this innocency. And what did Eve do? She took the responsibility to make a decision that really Adam should have made. To make a leader out of your man, you need to allow him that role. Ladies, it is the natural thing inside of you, and I'm not saying it's the right thing, but a natural thing is to lead. Submission is an act of the will. Surrender is when you have been beaten down to the point where you say, I give up. God doesn't say surrender to the authority of your husband. God says submit. There's a difference, okay? Eve had not done that. She had taken this responsibility upon her, even in this perfect state, and look what it got them into a mess with. By the way, think about this, ladies. You will bolster his ability by showing him that you believe in him and his ability to lead. When I said a while ago, I could label this message, how my wife made a man out of me, that's exactly what she did. Listen, I was a mama's boy, just quite frankly. And I could have been led around like a little whipped puppy. Any woman who had wanted to. And if you know my wife, she's a strong woman. And she could have done that very easily. I could have well been a namby-pamby, lace on the Fruit of the Looms, if you please. That could have been me. it was just kind of the way it was. I'll tell you what, she could have been Mrs. Joyce Myers, you know, leading me around, here, there, there, there. But that was simply not the case because she believed in me and she led me to believe that my decisions were good. Now, understand something. I believe sincerely, and probably most men in this room believe this, women many times have a greater mind and perhaps can even think better. But boy, I'll tell you what, when you will use that mind to show to him that you believe his ability, what tremendous thing that does. Because he will become the leader that you allow him to become, quite frankly. And you can help him, you can bolster him in this thing. A man cannot lead without followers, and a woman who will not follow, generally, always, I think I could probably just take the word generally off there, produce children who will follow her suit. Look at our homes today. There's not a man in over half of our homes today. And the ones there are, many of them, they're not leading those homes. They are not the ones who are the spiritual leaders. They're just simply not the leaders in those homes. And as a result, the children are following the women. And the women who've rebelled against their husband, what are they producing? Rebellious children. We have an epidemic of it. It's a horrible, horrible situation. I do not mean to pick on the black world. One of the problems in our black world is that those men abdicated the throne of their homes in greater proportions than many of the whites. And as a result of that, we find that so many young men are raised in a matriarchal society. They have no fathers. And so they very naturally become rebellious to any male leadership. And it just continues and seems to escalate and get worse. But be willing to follow. Secondly, encourage him by being godly. I want you to turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter and chapter number 3. These verses were, I believe, given for a number of reasons, but one of the reasons was to help women who are married to men who do not believe. Perhaps the woman got saved later, and as a result, she had married a lost man, and now she's with him, and she's saved. How can she win him to Christ? And so we find here that, really in verse number 1, it tells us how that takes place. And also, I believe it gives us here a tremendous opportunity not only for lost women to win their husbands to Christ, but for, saved women to win their lost husbands. Also, it's a truth that's applicable for any woman seeking help to be the helpmeet like God wants her to be. Let's read verse 1. It says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Now we got to understand this word conversation. It is a word that still means behavior, though today we would think more in terms of conversing. In other words, you talk, I talk, you talk, I talk, and we are having this conversation. But conversation, as in the time when the Bible was given to us in 1611, was simply a word that was talking about the total behavior. Now, ladies, one of the things you do in conversation is you not only listen to words, but you more than men, and no offense, but you more than men look at body language. And it's always amazing to me because I will hear something that's being said and some women will come up, did you hear what they said? They didn't say it. But they were reading body language. It's conversation. And so all of those things are enveloped in this, okay? And so we talk more than by words. Is that not true? By the way, we need to be very careful with body language. And I believe that we would be very well off to always listen to the words and take them at face value. We'll be in a far safer place. But anyway, our conversation, it can influence your man. I heard this said many years ago. It's not stated this way in the Word of God, but it perhaps bears a very good illustration. God made man the head of the family. But you ever notice what attaches the head to the rest of the body? The neck. And what does the neck do to the head? It can tilt about any way it wants to. A good wife, in her good conversation, can really influence that head to look in the right ways. Okay? Yeah. For instance, a wife who is completely lovely, I mean in her personality, in her appearance, I mean, she has his eyes captivated on her. She's got his head turned towards her. He's not looking at some others. Make sense? Yeah, sure does. And so we find there's some truth, I believe, applied there. Her conversation, that behavior can influence her man. Understand something, nagging is not conversation. It is demanding speech, and you aren't placed in the position of authority by God to demand from your husband. I had an older brother that was plagued by a naggy wife. I mean, she was a nagger. And whenever we would have a family get together, when my brothers would all be there, why, if she was ready to leave, why, she would just start saying his name. And she'd just be after him. Okay, and oftentimes he would stop by the house and lament those things. By the way, one of the reasons she was a nagger is because he was still a mama's boy. And that was another story. But oh, how we need to understand that. Encouragement and known belief in him will accomplish more in making him the spiritual leader than anything I really know of. I appreciate that's what my wife has done for me. To help me to realize, say, I am that guy. I am in that position. And so I say to my wife, I salute her today. I thank her for that, that she was one who was willing to submit, to subject herself unto me. By the way, men want input, not outburst. It does not help to yell at him. By the way, guys, it doesn't help you to yell at her either. Yelling, I believe, is a form of rebellion. By the way, don't talk down to him, even if he does not have the knowledge you have. God still placed him in that position. And if you're wise, God will see to it that it comes out right. You don't have to be the wrong kind of person. I believe even Jezebel had better sense than many women today. because she, even in her position, still seemed to build her husband. You have to forgive me. In my notes, I called her Jezebelary. But I'm a decade off, so anyways, we'll forget that. Be willing to follow Him. Okay? Encourage Him by being godly. Here's one. Respond to His love. Most of us guys, we really don't know how to sweet talk too well. We don't know those nice little things that you like to hear, you know. We still think that perhaps the best thing we could do for you on your birthday is to buy you a new electric drill. Yeah. It seems practical, doesn't it, guys? As a matter of fact, she could use that for so many things. Listen, you buy her electric drill, I mean a portable one, and she could put mixer handles on the bottom of that thing she could use in the kitchen. I mean, doesn't that seem right to you guys? But these ladies don't like that idea. Okay? And as my wife puts it, I want something personable. Well, I would engrave her name on it. But that isn't what she means. Okay? Oh, my. So what I'm going to try to say is this. Through a process of time and what have you, ladies, when he does do it right, respond. Respond. It is amazing how you can train this guy. If you respond, okay? You can help him in these areas. Respond to his love. You know, the Bible tells men to love our wives. Three times in Ephesians it tells us that. One of them is sacrificially, one is unreservedly, and one is exclusively. But if that's going to take place, then ladies, respond to it. Boy, I've seen this many, many different times. You know, we guys, we do a lot of stupid things, and then we try to do it right. And, you know, we say something or do some little thing, and how does she respond? No, he don't mean it. It's too late now. I mean, all sorts of things. And normally it ends up in divorce court. And it's a brokenness. And I understand it's two parties. Well, listen, ladies. Learn to respond. Whatever it is, you help him. See? Because we're not too adverse in these kind of things. We're just kind of dummies, really, at heart. And we don't know those fancy, frilly little things that mean something to you. I read the story many years ago, and I can't remember the fellow's name. They actually became well-known in later years. They were living in New York City. It was in their younger days. They had two or three little children. The household was very, very poor. They had very little money. I believe, if I'm correct in this, that it was during the Depression years. And they were barely making it. But I don't know if it was a special occasion. I don't remember all the particulars. But I do remember this story and remember that the fellow stopped by the florist on his way home from work. And he took what few cents he had and he took a few of those coins and he went to the florist and he bought some flowers for his wife. He could have bought some flour for the table. But actually they sacrificed a little of that flower for flowers. And he took the bouquet home to his wife. And what he said in later years was this. Though it seemed to me frivolous at the time, what it did for my wife in those moments helped far more than if I'd have brought home a sack of groceries. She had taught him that through her responses. And he knew what tripped her liver. He knew what would help her. And though the flowers, I mean, a matter of few days, they're gone. But those thoughts in her heart helped her propel her through those times. And so I say to you ladies, we don't always know how to respond to your emotions. We don't always know how to do those kinds of things. We don't know how to do that. But respond to what we do, and you can help your man with that. Okay? and it'll be a blessing. Now, some guys are, they take some while to catch on, but, you know, send them to me, I might be able to help them. Send them to my wife, she might be able to help them a little more. Okay. But God called you to be a helpmeet. One who is fit for Him. How can that help? How can you be that help? Well, you've got to be willing to follow. In this day and age, that just doesn't happen too often. Thank God for those women that are like that. Encourage him by being a godly woman. That kind of influence. By having the conversation, that manner of living that's going to win his heart. And again, you'll get farther with compliments than criticisms. You'll get farther by patting the back of his head than slapping his face. Yeah. It's just one of those things we need to understand. And then respond to his love. To those things. You say, well, boy, I got to really look for it. Well, if you got to get a microscope, do so. But find them, and you can build those things that he might become a better leader for your family. Listen, you two are different. Have you noticed? When I got married, I had this idea that, you know, all the things I like to do, I do with my wife. I never sat down and really knew this. I didn't know she was not an outdoorsy type. When we were together, we went outside. Not always, but I mean, you know, we go outside, walk around. But you know, her idea of camping is a Holiday Inn, though we've never actually stayed in a Holiday Inn. We stay in those cheaper ones. I mean, that's her idea of that. That's funny because we went on a camping trip for our honeymoon. But at that stage, she didn't care. But you know, I found that we were different. I enjoyed sports. I thought she did too. You know, she liked to play certain sports, but she wasn't that thrilled about it. Okay. I bought a motorcycle a few years ago. I thought surely she'd be a Harley mom. Can you imagine my wife in leathers on the back of a motorcycle with me? No. This never happened. She wouldn't even touch it. And when I finally sold it, she says, never again. I'm still tempted, gentlemen. I told her this. I've been trying to really get her pumped up on this idea. Any of you ladies, Harley, I mean, any of you ladies, just like you like riding motorcycles, go talk to my wife, will you? Just clue her in, all right? I don't think this is going to get anywhere. Dina, you still like that? Don't write him anymore. Okay. But, you the only two in here? Debbie, I know your husband has one. Do you touch it? Oh, do you ride with him? Sometimes you sound so thrilled. We're different creatures, amen? We have different likes and dislikes. I mean, there's things that we like to do and things we don't like to do. I'll tell you what has happened in my marriage and what I appreciate so much is the fact that those things that I never understood before and those things that were not exactly in my like case, they got in there because of her. It has broadened my scope. She's a helpmeet. Put it this way very succinctly, I'm a dog person, but I learned to love cats. There's some of you here, you hate cats. But I've learned to love those little critters, because she did. And I learned to look at some things in their, you know, in their lives. And that is, you can't control them. They're independent creatures. You can't train them. Okay? They're going to do what they want to. Okay? I think men ought to probably take some lessons from them sometimes. But anyways, dogs you can train, you know. But anyways, it expands the horizon. But sometimes we allow those things to become contentious areas when in fact God puts us together with differences that it might expand us, make us broader, make us greater individuals. I look at Doc and Dee, one of our most elderly couples in our church, and I think they're different as day and night in many regards. But how they complement each other. And that to me is a tremendous blessing. I look at that. Okay? So we got to do these things. Last thing I want to just mention this. You have loyalty to only one greater. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Eve was tempted Adam because she didn't follow his rule. And she put selfish desire ahead of God. And it really caused a problem for the whole human race. The only time you're not to follow your husband when he leads you away from God. Okay? But otherwise, that's what God placed in your life. And so many times, I hear the excuses, you know, well, he's such a dum-dum, he makes all these wrong choices and this and that and the other thing. Remember, you said yes. Keep on saying yes. Let God bless you in that marriage. A help meet. God put you together for purpose. And that's so, you know, to really to take care of His purpose and to work together for the cause of Christ. And thus to grow the children after the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a wonderful place to be at. May God bless our ladies and our women. I thank God for those who demonstrate these kinds of things in their lives. It's a blessing to my soul. Amen. And I hope this is just a reminder to some things that are necessary in our lives. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. We've got about 5 minutes. Father, thank You today for Your goodness. Thank You for this time of looking at the Word of God. Thank You for the wives, the mothers that are here. Lord, we thank You that as we have taught this, I can honestly say that these principles are generally being observed in lives. And Lord, I'm just so thankful for that. Lord, I thank You that there are women who want to respond to their man, who want to follow after him. Lord, we know that even some in this room have experienced the opposite. And Lord, we know the heartache. We know the demise. We know the hurt that comes as a result of all that. And so, Lord, today I pray that You just continue to place this in the hearts of these ladies. Bless them, we pray, for this day. May honor be upon them. And, Lord God, bless them the hour to follow. We pray that it'll be a time of help and spiritual nourishment. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Anybody got a question about anything? Got a couple minutes here. Any Bible question? Don't ask me about your tax questions. Some of you got email. I sent an email out this week. It said, I'm now investing in taxes. The only thing that's going to go up. You know what's sad is, it's not exactly my idea, but that's what's happening. Oh, more and more and more. Oh, well. Don't despair. God's still on the throne. And, I mean, we look around this world, things sometimes look mighty bleak. But we got a Savior who's coming again. Amen. I don't know how it's going to be when He gets here. It could be today. We could all be sitting in jail having jail services. I don't know. We could be at the hangman's noose. Who knows what might be taking place in the future. But we still got a God. Amen. And in the words of a missionary, Brother Sigmund, who was in our church two or three years ago, and going into parts of Peru, and he's saying, we may get killed with the people we're going to see, but I'll get a martyr's crown. Wow. I was overtaken with that. Alrighty, you're dismissed this morning.